I think we are on the verge of something fantastic. Pauline and I were talking this week about when Stuart Bell came last here and said to us, "You do know, Stephen, that you need to be in the city centre, don't you?" And I came up with all these reasons why we weren't in the city centre. And he said, "Yes, but you do know that once you move to the city centre, you will grow." And Pauline pointed out to me that that was actually 4 years ago, not the 2 years ago that I was thinking. 4 years ago, Stuart said that. Of course, it's taken us best part of a year to actually make the move. And we have launched out into a new building, into a new wider ministry. And that is where we are focusing this year. We had this fantastic reading that Juliet brought us from Luke's Gospel about launching out into the deep. And I really felt God challenge me on this word this week for myself. And I thought this was something I should share with all of you. Basically, if we go back to the old ancient version, you know, the Bible that Jesus himself used, the King James Version, it does say, "Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft.'" We won't go into what draft means, but we know in the modern version that we had read to us, it says, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Launch out into the deep. I just felt that was a great message for us to start our new year in this building with, launching out into the deep. At the start of Jesus' ministry, he picked 12 apostles or 12 disciples. And those 12 people were ordinary people, much like you and me. Ordinary people. He initiated a new phase of public ministry. We have no real record of what happened to Jesus before the wedding in Cana or before his baptism or wherever you're reading in the Gospels which starts his public ministry. We have no real record. We know about his birth. We know about him appearing at the temple when he was 12. We don't know anything else. Was it insignificant? Well, I don't think it could have been. I think at the very least it was very significant for Jesus. But here at the start of a new phase in Jesus's public ministry, he says to a group of ordinary people, "You launch out into the deep." You. He's talking to us. He's talking to his ordinary disciples. He's saying, "Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep." And as I read this week, and as I waited on this message, I just felt God saying to me, "Stephen, launch out. Stephen, tell the people they need to launch out into the deep." And so that's where I'm going today, is to say to you, let's launch out together into the deep. We have a new year, and the media are going mad with diets. In fact, I have been deluged with emails from Christian organisations recommending a new book that's co-written by Rick Warren, The Daniel Plan, I think it's called, and people encouraging me personally to go on a diet. Lord, help me. You know, it's not a bad message for a lot of us who have overindulged. But is our launch of a new year just about a new diet? This Daniel Plan, by the way, looks good. It's good. But seriously, is that all there is? Do we get to the new year and we immediately discuss how we're going to join a gym, which we never do, or we pay the fee and we never go? Or are we going to cut our calorie intake every day this year? Are we? Is that all there is to life? Is it that Christmas is about overindulgence and the new year is about cutting back? Come on. There has got to be more significance in our life this new year than cutting back, even though some of us could do with it. Seriously, what does this week mean to you? Tomorrow, it means to me I'm back in the office. But what am I going to do with that time? What am I going to do this year? How am I going to repurpose myself and refocus myself? What is God talking to me about? He's telling me to launch out into the deep. And I think that's a message for all of us this year. Are you going to be a couch potato or a fisherman this year? A couch potato or a fisherman? Are you going to get stuck in? Are you going to launch out into the deep and expect a big catch? Or are you just going to sit there and fill a pew? You'd have to go upstairs if you're going to fill a pew, but you know what I mean. Are you just going to sit there? Are you? Or are you going to get stuck in this year? I heard a man once preach, and it became one of his popular things he said over many years, that if you do something and get no results, yet carry on doing it, you're an idiot. You're a fool. Only a fool does the same thing and expects different results. And you know something? I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking to myself, that cannot be right. Because Jesus tells Peter to do exactly what he had already been doing, and yet he gets a different result. If Jesus had said to Peter, Peter, you give up this fishing lark, there's obviously nothing out there. Come on, Peter, come with me, I'll teach you how to build tents, I'll teach you how to do a bit of carpentry, I'll teach you how to turn it into house building. Come on, be a house builder with me, we'll give up this fishing lark. No, Jesus says to him, launch out into the deep and expect a good catch. And of course, that's exactly what Peter got. Peter got a great catch. And it's at that point that Jesus says, come and follow me. Give that up now. Come on. You're with me now. Peter went out on a high. Peter left fishery on a great high with one of the great catches of his life. But I want to say to you today, in the church, we shouldn't think that doing the same thing is foolish. We often need to repitch what we're doing. We often need a new angle. We often need to put a little bit of life into what we're doing. But what we really need to do is to launch out into the deep. I looked for loads of photos on Google to illustrate launching out. And, you know, there's lots of images of people at the ends of swimming baths with the deep end written on the swimming baths. And there's lots of ideas about that. But, you know, are we going to move out of our comfort zone this year? Are we going to move on into something that's new and relevant? You know, when we first moved here, we had our spark on a Wednesday night, our main midweek meeting. And somebody came up to me and said, why are we meeting on a Wednesday night? And I thought, what's this question about? That's me for you. I don't answer the question. I think, why is the question being pitched? But it hit me. The reason we were meeting for Spark on a Wednesday night was that was the only night that was free at Foxwood Community Centre. But what the person was asking me was now that we are no longer at Foxwood Community Centre, why are we meeting on a Wednesday night? And it was a powerful question. It unseated me from my comfort zone. And that's why we're meeting Tuesday and Thursday nights now. And we've got prayer every week and Spark every week where we discuss big questions and things like that. You see, we need to launch out into the deep. We have got a bigger place. We have got a place which we can use any time. And we need to make this building useful for God's kingdom. Peter was used to letting down the nets. We're used to letting down the nets. We're used to reaching out for people. We now need to do it in a different place, in a deeper place. We don't need to think, I have tried this for years and it's not done any good. What we now need to think is, we're in a different place. What can we do? And we need to listen to Jesus, who is saying, launch out into the deep. We are on a springboard. You know what I mean by that, don't you? You know the boards that they used to have in swimming baths? I don't know about you, but I've never seen one for years. I mean, they don't put them in because they think people were going to leap off and hurt themselves. It's a whole health and safety thing. You know, diving boards, where are they? Bring back diving boards. But we are on a diving board. We're on a springboard. We actually have an opportunity to influence not just the church in this city, because we have been doing that for years, but the people of this city. We have now got the opportunity to radically grow. We have got the opportunity to put on things in this building which will draw people in and give them the gospel. I have no real desire to put on events that don't draw people into the church. I have not any desire to put on events that are just there for filling in the calendar. I want to do things which we expose people to the gospel. And that's what we should do. We should expose people to the message of Jesus. We are on a springboard to destiny. We are at a point in our lives where we do have deeper water available to us. And we still have the nets. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we going to do this year? You know, as your pastor, some of you quite rightly say to me, well, Stephen, it's about what you're going to do. But you know, it isn't just about what I'm going to do. It's about what you're going to come to me and say, how about we do this? I'm prepared to get involved. If you have lots of ideas but are not prepared to get involved, don't bother telling me. But if you do have ideas and you are prepared to get involved, come and talk to me. Let's see what we can launch this year from this building. I am hopeful that very soon we will have a morning once a week where we can invite in a group of people from Amana House to do crafts and singing. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to extend that to the broader elderly public around this building. I think it's a great opportunity for mission. But we need those people who will commit to being here to make it happen. There are lots of other opportunities ahead of us. Libby would love to get a genuine gospel choir going. Something where we really can invite people in to sing and engage with them with the gospel. She needs people who will be committed to do that. We have lots of opportunities ahead of us. We have a building that we can use as creatively as we want. But we have to be prepared to listen to Jesus when he's saying to us, launch out. Launch out into the deep. We have to be prepared to do that. How deep will you go? Some of you have heard me talk before about servanthood. And I've often said to you, if we put on a servanthood conference, no one will come. But if we put on a leadership conference, we can pack the building and talk to them about servanthood. Because the key to leadership is servanthood. If you remember, those of you who have seen me do it, I have a limbo set. And I put Chubby Checker on, and we're singing limbo, and we get someone up the front, see how low they can go. But the whole point of limbo is that limbo was set up by African slaves to remind their offspring of the way they were transported to their lives of slavery. How they were slid onto shelves in the slave ships. Very rarely did half of the slaves survive. They were put on the shelf and left there, possibly for 6 weeks. And those who survived the journey were hosed down as they got off the ship. That is why when you watch Amazing Grace, the movie, they are holding their noses in the port when a slave ship arrives. Because those slaves have been laid on a shelf for 6 weeks. You know something? When we play limbo, we need to remind each other, how low will you go? How low will you go? Will you be flexible enough to serve God's kingdom this year? Or are you sat there thinking, I'm going to pray the blessing of God on this church, and I'm going to keep praying it, and I'm going to keep coming, and that's it. I hope you are praying the blessing of God on this church. I really hope you are. But how low will you go? How deep will you go? How deep are you prepared to go for the kingdom of God this year? You know, I grew up in a church, a classical Pentecostal church, a hymn prayer sandwich church. And I was challenged by a missionary. I think I was 14. This missionary came along and he had me weeping halfway through his message, telling how these people in the Congo that he'd been to, how they had nothing, and yet they were embracing Jesus as Lord. And he was telling how comrades, people he'd worked with, had been butchered by the local people, and that he had survived, and how he was prepared to give all for Jesus and for the kingdom of God. And I remember going away from that very, very emotional and praying, God, what can I do? And I spoke to my pastor. I said, what can I do? And he said, keep praying. And, you know, nobody gave me anything to do. So one week I thought, Lord, what can I do this week? And I think God put in my heart, give out the hymn books. Now, it causes me certain feelings of revulsion these days to think about giving out the hymn books, but, you know, that was a great ministry because I became the first person that everybody saw when they came in the church. And do you know what? If you're the first person, you can influence how that entire meeting goes by your demeanour. If you greet people with a smile, if you welcome them in, if you are friendly and warm, you can make everything that happens next so much easier. And you know what? Over the next 3 or 4 years, that was all anybody ever gave me to do. Do you know what the next job they gave me to do? Assistant pastor. It's a huge leap, isn't it? From hymn book giver outer to assistant pastor. But you know what? I couldn't have done the second job without having first done the first. But I know what I meant by that. You have to serve. You have to go deeper. You have to stretch out. There is nobody in this room that God has finished with. There is no one in this room that can't do something. I want you to pray today and to pray this week and say, Lord Jesus, what are you giving me to do? And then come and talk to me. Because I want to facilitate your vision. I want to facilitate what God is calling you to become. And I believe whatever it is, it's powerful. Are you not convinced? We need to go deeper. Do you remember that incident a couple of years ago? That cruise liner, instead of going deeper, they hit the bottom and they tipped over. I don't know if that's all concluded in the courts yet, and I don't know if anybody has been thoroughly punished for what happened. But that cost a lot of lives. It ruined a lot of people's experience of the sea. But you look at that boat and you say, the dream is collapsing. This is our challenge today. When I say to you, this is our year, you can turn around and say, I've heard that before. You can. You can do that if you wish. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm struggling with this. Help me, because I want to go deeper. And do you know what? If nobody goes deeper but you, we can see real growth this year. If a few of you will go deeper, we can change this locality. If we will all go deeper, we can have such an impact on this city that we will bring a great smile to the face of Jesus. And we will change lives, renew lives, repair lives, help people to come into right relationship with God. You know that's what we're all about. Our very ethos is we believe this walk with God, it's all about relationship. And everything we do out of relationship. You know that. Our relationship together can be very fruitful this year. You know what? I've just read a book by a disgraced American televangelist. It's a few years old, this book, but it had 632 pages and it took me a while to read it. Now, I just discovered it. And this book's called I Was Wrong. And this guy, who was a great Assemblies of God minister, and, you know, I had 30 years in Assemblies of God, I respected him until I'd heard on the news that he'd had an affair. And until he went to prison for 45 years initially, which eventually became 18 and then 8, and they let him out after 4.5. And a year after he was let out, a high court turned over the accusation that had been against him of fraud. So he'd been to jail for nothing. But he would say to you in this book that going to jail was the making of him, because he had become so busy, he had forgotten his personal relationship with God. And he learnt in jail what it was to read his Bible again, what it was to pray again, and he also learnt what it was to be a broken man and to come clean and say to people, listen, I maybe didn't commit fraud, because he always said he hadn't done, but I brought down the good name of Jesus by my behaviour. I misled you in some of the stuff I taught you because I wasn't getting my Bible open. And this man, who I don't know how he is now or where he is now or what he's doing now, but this man became very open about his own failings. Hence writing a book, I Was Wrong. The last three words in the book are, I was wrong. The last three words in most chapters are, I was wrong. But do you know something? If you've been wrong, admitting it is powerful. There is nothing wrong with admitting you were wrong. There is everything wrong with looking at the vision and saying, I don't see it personally. There's everything wrong with saying, this place is going to collapse in a year. There's everything wrong with that, because God is speaking to us. God is giving us the opportunity. And we have the chance now, possibly one chance, to turn the effectiveness of this building round in a year. In a year's time, I want to see this place full. I want to see us having to use upstairs a bit. I'm not saying I want to see the 300 chairs full. I'm being realistic about this. I believe we can fill downstairs this year. I believe we can connect with hundreds of people. Our new website is already starting to hit figures. Libby's been telling you our Facebook and Twitter accounts are hitting thousands of people a week. Not hundreds, not tens, not the few that are here this morning, but thousands. This week, I have been contacted through our website by a Chinese girl who is coming to our prayer meeting this week. Libby's been contacted through Facebook. We are all the time getting contacts with people. And these are effective communications with people, and these are opportunities. But we've got to turn these people into fish. Well, we've got to catch them. We have to engage them with the gospel. A couple of hundred years ago, George Whitefield stood in the market square, having preached his heart out to almost 10,000 people Whereupon he took a judge's black cap and put it on his head. And he began to point to the crowds and said, "I judge you. I judge you. I judge you." And with that, hundreds of people ran, pushed through the crowds to the front, and threw themselves on the floor in front of Whitfield, pleading for forgiveness. Now, I'm not buying a judge's black cap for anybody. And if I'm honest, it's not my style to point my finger at you and say, "I judge you." But that worked for Whitfield. And do you know something? God will give us things that will work for us. This mustn't become about us. This mustn't become about our ministry. It mustn't become even just about this church. But it must become about serving Jesus. It must become about his kingdom. Now the word that is meaningless. In conclusion, this year, we don't need any resolutions. We need targets. We need three definite targets that we can achieve. I say three because it's a simple number. It's not a number that I feel is particularly given to me by God. If we end up with four, I'll be fine about that. But we need to have targets that we can achieve. That by setting up this morning affair for the elderly, that we can engage the elderly into the church. You know, people say it's all about youth, and our culture is all about youth. But do remember, there are far more older people than there are younger people, and we mustn't forget them. But this year, we also need to do something more for kids. We will never have a substantive young person's group unless we first have a substantive children's group, because that's where you get them from. And we need to look this year what we can do. But don't keep looking at me to do it. What can we do this year? What will you do? Will you go deeper? Have you got a personal target? And I'm not saying here, you know, we're going to sit you down and this is your target for the year and have meetings about it. We're not a sales organization. But we do have to have realistic conversations about what is God saying to you and what are we going to achieve. We'll keep checking our progress. We will be realistic. That's why we have monthly leaders meetings. We talk these things through. Look for opportunities this year. Look for your opportunity this year to volunteer in church. Keep asking me. Don't ask me once, and if nothing happens, say, "Well, he didn't want me." Keep asking me. Pray every day for the program and do everything you can to help. If you can be there once a week, once a month, once, offer and be there. Pray for the program. Pray that everything that God gives us to do, we do it well. Be a great fisherman. I'll never forget that man who used to come into the computer shop I managed in Clifford Street, and it just smelt vile. Honestly, bless him, he stank to high heaven. I didn't know he was a fishmonger. And he just threw a coat on. He had his pinny on, still under his coat. Oof, that coat must have had. But, you know, he was a fisherman. And I don't care what smells we develop as a church, as long as we are bringing in the unchurched, as long as we are catching fish, you can smell how high you like for me. We are after the people that God loves. He doesn't just love Methodists. He doesn't just love ground level people. He doesn't just love the church. He loves the lost. And we need to love the lost too. Do you love the lost? Will you stand with me? Just bow your heads. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this is your prayer, you can say to God, God, I'm saying this prayer with Steve. Lord God, help me to launch out into the deep this year. As one of your simple disciples, help me to reach out to those around me, to cast my nets deeper and further, and to be an effective outreach person in the sphere in which I move and in the city in which I live. Make me effective for your kingdom this year. And Lord, we ask you to help us each and every one in our own personal devotions this year to go deeper with you in prayer and in reading your word. May relationship with you not be a Sunday thing, but be a daily thing. This year, may we be inclusive of you in our daily walk and our daily pilgrimage, our journey through life. May we include you in everything. May we be prayerful in everything. Help us, Lord, to please you and to be there for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to extend this service just for a couple of minutes. We've just got a couple of people we need to pray for. And if you need prayer, then I want you to come forward and we will pray for you. Edward, can you make it to the front, my brother? Now, Edward's just had an operation and he says it's done him no good whatsoever. He's having a lot of pain, and you can tell by the way he walks, he's stiff. My brother needs a miracle. He needs the great physician. And I want you to pray with me for him. So just where you are, stretch out your hand towards Edward. We're going to pray the healing power of the living God on him. I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray God's healing power on your back. Spirit of God, come in healing power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Edward. Believe. God is your healer. God is your healer. Bless you, my friend. Is there anyone else who wants ministry today? I anoint you with oil, June, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that God will complete this healing work in your eyes. that God will complete his healing work in your family. That all may know there is a God in June's life. Be healed in Jesus' name. You know, Arielle is still having pain in her knee, still having a bit of swelling. But 2 weeks ago, she couldn't walk. I don't know if it's 2 weeks, last Friday night, we went out into town and I had to push her in a wheelchair. Do you know what? She's a lot heavier than when I used to last push her in a chair. And up those cobbles, it was hard work. I can't say why she is so much better, but she is. But we have kept praying. And I like to believe that this is the hand of God. She still needs a touch. She still finds it painful to walk, but she can walk. We now need to pray total breakthrough. Arielle, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Receive healing for your knee. May all swelling go. May all internal irritation stop. May that joint be free and full in movement. May you know the power of God in it, strength to stand, strength to walk, strength to live a normal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I anoint you with oil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, touch my brother. Be to him all that he needs. Help him to see, Lord, that the way you are working this out is your way. Help him to not give up. Help him not to see that boat on its side, but help him to see it sailing through. Help him, Lord, to be a great fisherman. And Lord, we speak health to him, health to his chest, health to his entire being. And Lord, that you would give him great inner peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may God bless you. May you go this week knowing the righteousness of God has been paid for you by the living Christ, knowing the empowerment in your life of God's Holy Spirit, knowing that whatever you face it with God. And may the peace of God fill your life in Jesus' name. Amen.